This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. He's been in Highland Heights since last July, but he wanted to get his feet wet and to get to know the region and the campus a little bit. And now, this week, Dr. Ashish Vaidya is inaugurated as the new president of Northern Kentucky University. He's the first non-white man to hold that role. I spoke with him earlier about issues of race and opportunities for students at NKU. Dr. Ashish Vaidya, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for
having me. So it's been several months since you made the trip down from Minnesota to Northern Kentucky. Do you feel like you made the right decision?
I'm just so pleased with how things are going. This is a special place. This is a special region. I'm excited about the work we're doing, looking ahead to the work we have coming. And of course, top that off with the Norse doing so well in the NCAA. Hey, I think my cup runneth over.
Absolutely. A very cool time to be at NKU. And we're going to talk a little bit about that basketball program coming up. But what was it about the university overall that attracted you when you were looking for this type of role?
NKU was on my radar for many, many years. I knew about the work that was going on, especially as an institution that's very tied to the region. I had learned about it actually during my days in California, as a matter of fact. I didn't quite know where NKU was located. But what I did know was this was a young university, a very entrepreneurial spirit, can-do attitude, sort of making a big difference in the region. Jim Vitruba, of course, the former president, was nationally recognized as one that had led this institution into significant prominence, building on the foundation of the previous president. So just felt like a great fit. Some exciting things that were happening here, I thought was just an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And so there was really no doubt in my mind that I wanted to be a candidate for this position.
So there's some significance with your hiring, because out of all the presidents NKU has had, you're the first one who's not a white guy.
Yeah.
And the school kind of has a low diversity rate overall.
Sure.
The campus has, I guess, more than 80% is classified as white. So what is the significance in your eyes that this university is changing that perception, starting at the top with you?
Well, I'm really glad that we are thinking very intentionally about outcomes with respect to diversity and equity and inclusiveness. I think this region, much to my really pleasant surprise, was very, very clear about the fact that we need diverse talent in this region. If this region is to grow and prosper, that's what we need. And by way of looking at what NKU has to do in the future, we need to make sure that we bring in more diverse students from around this region, but around the country, and maybe around the world as well. I think that's going to be a key aspect of our growth going forward. And I think over the years, I've learned that you set the example from the very top. You set the example on the board. I think amongst all the other factors, we're pleased with the fact that I bring a different perspective. I'm glad that this has worked out, and we're going to continue to focus on those outcomes.
Do you see the university playing a significant role in this region's conversation about diversity and issues related to race?
I certainly hope so. I think NKU, and it's always been that way. I don't think this is something new. NKU has always been a place with great ideas, one that has embraced us. We're very proud in our young history. I mean, we've been ranked very highly when it comes to LGBTQ students and creating an environment that's welcoming for all students, military-friendly, adult-friendly student campus. So I think we've already taken some great steps, and we just have to build on those strengths.
So one of the challenges that the university is facing, of course, is money, like a lot of universities. What type of funding challenges is the university facing currently?
Well, our biggest challenge that continues to sort of bog us down to some extent is the pension challenge that we face. I think this was something that came up about a couple of years ago, really elevated to a different level last year when we found that it would be taking us to a whole different level of reductions that, frankly, were unmanageable and unsustainable. I think more than anything else was the uncertainty of what was going to happen. We continue to press for that. I'm very pleased from the point of view, Michael, of what NKU and the other comprehensive state universities in Kentucky have done. We've come together around this issue. We brought forward a set of proposals and recommendations that we felt would help. It was very well received by the state legislature. The House resoundingly passed a bill that actually had most of those elements in there. The Senate is taking a different look at this issue. We hope that the two sides come to an agreement and come up with some meaningful pension reform, especially for public higher education, because that's going to be a big factor for us.
I believe you're talking about House Bill 358, and you spoke in favor of this. You went to the legislature
I did.
And talked to them.
I did.
I want to talk about some of the highlights for universities and your unique situations right. As it relates to Kentucky's struggling pension system. So all the new hires in the system moved into a university-sponsored defined contribution plan.
Correct.
Why is that important?
Well, I think that's the way things have been moving across the country. You know, we proposed these recommendations by looking at some of the national best practices, in particular looking at states like Indiana, Missouri, even Minnesota, How have they addressed these kinds of challenges? This is not something that's new. Pension challenges are there across many states. And so we said, what's going on? How did those states address it? What can we learn from that? And that's one of the things. One of the first steps was, of course, new hires would go into a defined contribution plan that the university would offer. It has mobility. It allows, especially for many of our younger employees, gives them the option to wherever they go, they can take it with them. The resources go with them. So that was a big plus point. And it starts sort of making the approach of our liability somewhat more manageable.
You've worked in higher education in other states, Minnesota, California, and what's unique about Kentucky's financial structure as it relates to its higher education institutions in your eyes?
Well, I don't know if it's unique. I think in the realm of the pension issue, I think what's been happening is that we have just not addressed this for many decades. Many states are struggling with the same challenges, I think, and I think some are probably in worse shape in many ways. But I think what I'm hoping that the Commonwealth truly appreciates, understands that an investment in public education is the way to economic and social prosperity. I mean, there's no question. 45 out of the 50 states have renewed their commitment to invest more in public higher education. Kentucky is one of those five states that still has not. And we're going to put every pressure on us, on our Commonwealth, to change that narrative and to start reinvesting in public higher education.
So you're relatively new to Northern Kentucky, but in the context of the state legislature, it's often said that Louisville and Lexington and Northern Kentucky as the other metropolitan area in the state is kind of left out of a lot of the decision making. It's a rural-dominated General Assembly. In the short time and the short experience you've had with the General Assembly, is that your experience?
Well, I think I've been very pleased with how the legislature has been keeping its eyes and ears open. I mean, the fact that we came forward with a consensus proposal for the pension was very well received. They were actually very thrilled that we actually came up with a plan and were not simply saying, here, this is a problem, solve it. What I'd like to say is that this is just a first step in how we can work together with the state legislatures, with the business and industry and others to say, what can we do together to make this a really prosperous state and that actually keeps the engines going?
One part of that proposal that you and other university presidents came up with is an option to get out of the pension system completely and a set number of years to pay off the unfunded liabilities with a 5.25% interest rate. So you would support leaving the state pension system?
You know, we looked at this option as one that we should be able to have. So there are several steps to reaching that point of decision. One of which would be, say, how many of our current employees would want to stay in the system, how many of them would want to leave, so that we have a clear understanding of what is our true liability in this situation. But I think the option is attractive because it allows us to pay off this amount over a long period of time at hopefully a much more favorable interest rate. But the idea was it takes the uncertainty out of the question. Otherwise, every year we're still wondering, will the rates go up? Will we have to make greater contributions? Every additional contribution that we make to the pension does not allow us to invest in students, does not allow us to invest in compensation for faculty and staff, does not allow us to provide the kinds of services and programs this region needs. So taking care of that uncertainty, I think, would go a long way to helping us stabilize and become more sustainable.
Expand on that for us so that we understand exactly how the pension situation is impacting Northern Kentucky and its plans.
Well, so 5 years ago, our contribution to the pension for those employees that are in that plan was about 25%. Last year, it rose up to 49%. In other words, almost 50 cents to every dollar of salary that we pay goes towards the pension contribution that we have to make. I think more than that, for NKU in particular, we were paying a lot more than what our true liability was. And that was the other challenge that we faced. If nothing had been done and nothing has still been resolved, our pension obligation would go up to 84 cents for every dollar of salary. That would take us from somewhere in the range of $17 to $18 million a year that we spend to something like $31 million, which is frankly unsustainable. And the kinds of reductions that would need would frankly devastate NKU and would be, I think, in the long-term detriment of this region. So that's the scope of the challenge right now. And I think what we're offering is to say, look, we understand this is not a problem. We want to take equal responsibility. This is a shared sacrifice model. This is not going to be solved by just, you know, giving it to somebody else to figure it out. How can we all come together to make a difference and to, I think, really address this question once and for all?
Are you looking at situations where there may be reductions in full-time faculty members and other staff situations?
You know, I know last year when they were faced with this challenge, and I was still, coming in from the transition standpoint, they were looking at what something like a $12 or $13 million cut would look like. And frankly, Michael, those kinds of reductions, as I said earlier, are not only unsustainable, they would create long-term damage for this university, for this region, recovering from which would be extremely difficult. So while there are obviously all kinds of possibilities, most of it is tied in personnel, I would really hope and I would strongly encourage our state legislature to come to some resolution on this challenge.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking today with the new president of Northern Kentucky University, Dr. Ashish Vadia. So it's March, so let's talk a little bit about basketball. It's a little happier than the pension crisis in Frankfurt. Before we get into the X's and O's of it all, you're seeing a lot of community pride generated by this basketball program. How do you capture that and drive more community enthusiasm from the broader region into Highland Heights in general?
Well, I really hope that the success we're seeing, not only in our men's basketball program, but across our different intercollegiate athletics programs over the last few years, is reason enough for this community to take great pride in NKU and what it's doing. I think the move a few years ago to Division I was a risky move. I think people were sort of unsure about how it would work out. But I think the commitment to making sure that we provide opportunities for community to come together around athletics, we all enjoy sport. In so many ways. I think so many of us know that it breaks down barriers. But I think most importantly, Michael, what our student athletes have been doing, not just on the court, but off as well, in terms of community service, in terms of excelling in the classroom, is truly outstanding. The team that gets the highest average GPA gets a chance to have breakfast, lunch with the president. Yeah. And I was pleased that the men's tennis team got that honor last semester. And it was great to host those young men to talk about what their hopes and aspirations are. So I'm hopeful that this trajectory will continue. And this is a matter of pride. They say athletics is the front porch of the university, and it's meant to drive pride in the alumni and current students, faculty and staff, and the community. And we just want to see more of that continue in the future.
So what can the basketball team's success mean for enrollment and other opportunities on campus?
I think it means, as I said to them yesterday and over the past week, you know, the success the basketball program has had is beyond just the program itself. It's even beyond athletics. It's for the university as a whole. I think when the name gets out there, when the amount of social media and the name recognition, the fact that we are being talked about in national circles with basketball, when it gets out there, people will take notice and they'll go beyond just the basketball program and ask, what's all this buzz about NKU? And I think they'll find an institution that's doing some incredible work, both in multiple fields that we offer, whether it's the School of the Arts, whether it's in technology, whether it's in health, with the new Health Innovation Center. And it drives the conversation about what our true value is to this region and beyond.
Coach John Brannan, who's had a lot of success in just 4 years, you said that he would stay at NKU as long as you do. He's got to be a target, though, for a new job after this success. Those mid-major successful coaches always end up being flirted with by some of the larger programs. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, yes. Of course, I was being facetious, as you know, Michael. I know that it's with that kind of talent, it's going to be a challenge going forward. I know that Coach Brannan has done an outstanding job, and I can only say that we're extremely fortunate to have someone of his talent, his caliber, local boy, if you will, take this program to new heights. And what he's doing for this program in the time that he's been here, I think will cement his legacy here. So as long as we have him, we should be grateful and supportive.
One last sports question. Will there ever be a football team at NKU?
I can answer that pretty unequivocally. As long as I'm the president, probably not.
Okay. Now that you've been here, I guess almost a year, close to it, what do you view as the role of that university in the community conversation overall? What is the role of NKU in Northern Kentucky?
You know, it's a great question, Michael. We've been talking a great deal about that as we've thought about what is our next chapter for NKU. What is the next chapter going to be? And I look at it in a couple of different ways. One of the first things that I recognized coming in, both from conversations with the campus and the community, is the fact that this is a region and a community that wants to grow. It wants to be in the same sort of conversations about economic and social prosperity as every other region in this country. And in fact, it wants to lead in that regard. Our role, I think, as NKU's next chapter is how do we align ourselves so much so that we are the ones that create and drive and empower diverse learners for economic and social mobility. I think NKU's next chapter will be to elevate its position as a student-ready, regionally engaged university that's going to empower diverse learners for economic and social mobility. That's our vision going forward. And by that, I mean that we think about the changing demographics of the students we have to serve. It's not going to be your traditional 18-year-olds. It's going to be students who are diverse in nature, who work part-time, who balance life and family, who are returning veterans, you name it. That's the things, low-income, first-generation students. And we want to make sure that we give every one of those students an opportunity to thrive in this new knowledge-based global economy. That's what it's going to take. You're going to need skills, you're going to need competencies in order to compete successfully, not just in this region, but nationally and internationally as well. We have companies from all over the world who are here, and we're competing with everybody around. So I really feel that NKU's next chapter is going to be on that. We will drive opportunity. We will drive our diverse learners to become successful, to be engaged members of this community. And along with that comes prosperity. We'll also continue to be regionally engaged. What does this region need by way of programs and services? And how can we be part of that? The innovation, entrepreneurship landscape that we have. So I'm excited about where we're headed.
There's a lot being said these days about the cost of higher education for students. Some wonder now if it's even worth it. Maybe they should go study a trade and forget about their four-year degrees. Do you think there's still a value to four-year degrees despite these costs associated with it?
Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind. I think what we have not done, when I say we, I mean the public higher education system in general, is we haven't really made sure that we've created the appropriate value proposition and focused on it. It's very clear, time and again, studies have shown that educational attainment beyond high school, beyond the associate's degree, even beyond the baccalaureate, continues to add value. And so we know that that's one thing that has to be clear in most people's minds. I think where the skepticism has come in is, have we created the right structures and processes and rewards and incentives to ensure that every student has an opportunity to succeed? We cannot have students dropping out or not leaving NKU with a highly valued degree, certificate, or credential. That's what the ultimate goal is. And I think we believe that it's really about lifelong learning. As you continue to grow and develop, you're going to need new skills, new competencies. As somebody mentioned to me a few months ago, the students will have to learn, unlearn, and relearn. That's how things are changing, and that's how quickly things are changing over time. So I still believe the value of an undergraduate education and a graduate education at NKU is really outstanding. And we will continue to focus on the things we have to do well so that all students succeed and leave with that credential, degree, or certificate that they need.
But we have this student debt situation in this country. Some have called it a crisis. Do you view the relationship that NKU has built with, say, Gateway Community or Ivy Tech in Indiana, that those types of relationships where students can start there at a lower cost, knock out a certain amount of general education requirements, and then come complete the four-year degree at NKU? Do you view that as a way to address the student debt crisis?
Absolutely. I think that's a great example of how we can make the education more affordable. Starting off at Gateway or Cincinnati State or Ivy Tech, and then transferring to NKU and completing your baccalaureate is the model that has worked nationally, and we just have to make sure we continue on that pathway. But the other aspect is we're going to examine all the other aspects that make an education affordable. It's not just tuition. It's the time to degree. It's the fact that we allow students the flexibility of choosing pathways and credentials to come on, spend some time, leave with something, maybe work, keep coming back. That's the new model that we have to embrace because our students really need that flexibility as well.
It's not just students struggling to be able to pay their tuition. We're hearing about students struggling to eat, and NKU has come up with an expanded food pantry. It's called Fuel NKU, just recently expanded, not that long ago. How serious a problem is student hunger on campus?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. It's one of the moments, one of the proud moments I had this past few months to be able to work and partner with Kroger, their zero hunger, zero waste principle and idea, along with NKU's commitment to essentially eradicate food insecurity for our students. You know, nationally, it's said anywhere from 15 to 35% of students face food insecurity. That's a pretty significant number. And the fact is, it's all tied to student success. If you are not getting nutritious meals, if you're going to bed hungry, you can't focus in your schoolwork, you can't focus at work, you can't focus at all on most things. And that gives a whole new set of dimensions and challenges that our students face. This partnership, which is just truly outstanding, And I would encourage folks to come and take a look at it and support it as much as they can. It really takes that insecurity out of students' minds. In a very welcoming environment where students feel they can come in, get a nutritious meal, pick up a good healthy snack, and get re-energized to do some great work both in the classroom and outside the classroom as well.
So last fall, you joined the board of Centrifuge, and they're a prominent member of the local startup and entrepreneur scene. Where do you see NKU fitting into that?
Well, I think it matches NKU's progress up to this stage very well. I mean, NKU is always thinking about how it can be a major player, convener, facilitator in the regional ecosystem. Entrepreneurship and innovation is something that this region has embraced. And I think NKU, with its history in focusing on those efforts, will be a major player, not only in providing the talent in terms of students, but also our faculty expertise that I think can go a long way in helping local companies address challenges and issues that they have to face. More importantly, the innovation that we can do collectively. Intellectually, I think the fact that we have great resources on the part of the faculty and staff, along with what the business and industry kind of need, those things come together, and I think that's a powerful combination.
Informatics has become a key focus for the university. Some new buildings on campus are highlights of that initiative. Are there other areas of study, though, that you see as possibly emerging soon to help identify what NKU is?
You know, I think that's what NKU has done so well over the years. It has been a great partner for this region, keeping its eyes and ears open, being responsive to what the changing needs of this region are. You mentioned technology, and the second one, of course, is health. We know that our partnership with St. Elizabeth is one of those unique partnerships that has really elevated the provision of healthcare professionals, health innovation to a whole new level, and we're so appreciative of that. The partnership with the University of Kentucky and St. Elizabeth to bring on a medical school in the fall. These are all examples of both unusual but at the same time innovative alliances that are coming together to address specific issues and challenges. So what I can say is that what's the next big thing for this region? Perhaps it's all the activity that we see out of the airport with logistics and supply chain that I think is going to be the next thing. I was just hearing the other day that, this is one of those big hubs for both Amazon and DHL. That will spawn a whole new industry cluster that we want to be a part of and that we can support as well. So we're going to play it by looking at what the regional needs are, what those changes are, and how we can best respond. And that ultimately is NKU's legacy. We're quick, we're nimble, and we're responsive, and I think that's a great attitude to have.
The campus is working on a new strategic framework, Success by Design. What can you tell us about that?
Success by Design essentially embodies the focus that we're going to have over the next several years, perhaps on a regular basis. It started with a very simple premise that I shared with the campus last August. I said, we're going to have one priority, and that priority is how do we advance student success aligned with the needs of the region? And we're going to focus on three pillars of that. Number one is access. How can we make sure that more individuals, more learners, have access to an NKU education? Number two is completion. How can we make sure that more of them complete their degree and their educational goals? How can we make sure that all of them, regardless of what they choose, are successful, have successful careers, and are engaged members of the community? So we're excited about this. This is a singular focus for us. It will mean that we have to make some changes in the way we think about things. But I think the campus and the feedback I've received and the engagement, both on campus and off campus, has been tremendous.
Last year, NKU turned 50. 50 years from now, what does it look like?
100 years from now, they will look back at these last 100 years with a great deal of pride. NKU will continue to be an indispensable asset for this region. It will be a place that people will say, this institution gets it. Without this, this region cannot prosper. And that will be the enduring story of NKU.
Dr. Ashish Vaidya, we really appreciate you coming down and talking to us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Find archives of our show online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.